thanks for Eve, our first mother, the first to understand the complexities of life, its joys and its trials. Lord, we ask for your help for all who struggle with the effects of sin, sickness, and brokenness in this world. We remember those who are undergoing treatments, who are in hospital, or who feel chronic pain. Lord, have mercy.
For the mothers, Sarah, Hannah, and Elizabeth, who had to have patience and courage in waiting for a miracle. May all people longing for children or other miracles be strengthened by their stories and comforted in their pain.
Thanks for Hagar, who had resolve in the face of exile. May all caregivers who are forced to flee or feel neglected be given hope in your future for them, loving God.
Thanks for Rebecca, who exhibited flexibility. We lift up to you all people who have to raise their children in a different country or far from relatives, and who feel isolated and alone.
Thanks for our foremother Rachel, who carried the burden of grief and wept for her children. Loving God, hold the hands of all those who weep for their children, children who have gone missing, who have died, or who have lost to them, who are lost to them in other ways. It is comfort to know that no one is ever lost from your sight.
Thanks for Jochebed, who used wisdom and insight to protect vulnerable Moses. Give to all people of faith this wisdom and insight in their interactions with children, especially in vulnerable times.
Give thanks for Naomi and Ruth, who showed that love can conquer all trials. Help all caregivers to love constantly, even when life seems impossible and despair weighs hard upon their souls. Open our eyes to see those in need, to support as they support others.
And we give thanks for teenaged Mary, whose yes to God changed our world forever. We are thankful for her mothering of Jesus all those years ago, for her faithful love and tender care of God's most precious Son. May we too know the true cost of relationship by holding our faith in Christ deep within our hearts. And all people say,
Amen. Amen.
It's our privilege at this time to open God's Word freely together. And we are going to read a piece of scripture that is probably being read in a lot of churches today. But I think you will find that this is a bit of a different interpretation or message on this passage that we will share. So we're going to be reading from Proverbs 31. It's on page 657 in the Pew Bible that I have. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects the wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes him linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is the word of the Lord. There are some people that we have a love-hate relationship with, if you'll pardon the expression. Their problem is that they're just too perfect. Oh, you get that. And whether they intend it or not, they manage to make you feel inadequate beside them. So Martha Stewart, right, is the paragon of this, an icon. And maybe you can relate to this spoof I found, presumably a letter from Martha Stewart. It says, "Dear friend, this perfectly delightful Christmas note is being sent on handmade paper I crafted myself to tell you a few small things about which I have done recently. Since it snowed early last night, I got up early and made a sled with old barn wood and a glue gun. I hand-painted in gold leaf, got out my loom, and made a blanket in peach and mauve. By then it was time to start sewing and embroidering the placemats and napkins for my 20 breakfast guests. I'm not serving anything special this time, just the usual standard Stewart 12-course breakfast. Before I moved the table into the dining room, I decided to add just a touch of the holidays. So I quickly repainted the room and stenciled gold stars on the ceiling. They match the placemats perfectly. Well, I must run. I hope my breakfast guests don't stay too long. I have 40,000 cranberries to string with bay leaves before my televised speaking engagement at noon today. Your dear friend, Martha Stewart." Well, this morning as we read Proverbs 31, I have a bit of the same relationship to the woman who is portrayed in that chapter. If she's held up as the ideal domestic superwoman, let alone wife and mother, I'm lost. So let's look, though, at some background information about this piece of the book of Proverbs. First of all, you have to know that it's a poem. And just like the Psalms, so it can be thought of as a song of praise, just like psalms are songs of praise to God. In fact, Dr. Al Wolters, most recently from Redeemer, says it's a heroic hymn. It's a hymn of praise, extolling someone's virtues, making sure that they get the glory and the recognition that they deserve. And what we don't notice in English is that it's an acrostic poem. So that means every verse starts with a certain letter of the alphabet. So think of a kid's book, you know, A, is for aardvark, and then it's got a little poem, and B is for boa constrictor, and C is for, so that's what happens in this poem in Hebrew, although we don't see that in the English, and maybe some, you know, mothers are getting acrostic poems as their cards today, right? Like M is for macaroni and cheese that you make me when I'm sick, and O is for octopus that you've never made me eat, or something like that. So Proverbs 31 is the same. It's a very standardized poem. And thirdly, we have to look at the context of this song. It's at the end of the book of the Bible called Proverbs. So it's not in the Psalms, which are songs of praise or dialogue with God about different life experiences. The book of Proverbs is a book of instruction. It's kind of a parent-to-child guidebook to life, to how to live your life, and it's full of practical advice about all aspects of life. But its main theme is how to live wisely before the face of God, or in God's way. And it talks about things like picking friends and how to do that wisely. And it talks about things like how to use your time wisely and how to treat other people well. And it talks a lot, actually, about sex and alcohol and money. And then at the very end of the book, we get this song of praise to a good woman. So what's going on? How do we interpret that? What does that have to do with the rest of the book? Well, it's helped me to know that there are different interpretations for this woman that is in this song. First of all, it can be seen as a wife, and in that way, you have to see this as that the young man has been instructed all through the book of Proverbs, and now it's giving a picture of the kind of relationship that he should be in. And as if to say, okay, this would be the perfect woman, and go and find her, and then you will live God's way. And often this section of scripture is pulled out and preached on Mother's Day as just that sort of thing. So woman, go and do likewise. Man, go and do likewise. That's one interpretation. A second one is actually that this woman is wisdom herself. So the whole book has been telling the young man to pursue wisdom, and now it gives this picture at the close of if your life is married to wisdom. So if all of your life is woven through with wisdom because you're living a certain way, then this is a picture of the kind of life that a person could have. And your life will be pleasant and carefree and free from conflict. In the way of wisdom writing, it is giving him the vision, the picture, the final outcome of life with wisdom in every aspect of it. And then saying, now live into that vision. And finally, through much of church history, preachers and interpreters saw this. It wasn't talking about a woman, it was talking about the church. And so this was a poem about the church and how the church was. Because the church is the bride of Christ, and so it's kind of an allegory that it saw this as the church and Jesus. And so that meant that everything had a double meaning. It wasn't about a real woman working out in the field or looking after her household. It had a double meaning. So, for example, when the woman buys a vineyard, that would be interpreted as the church and the mission field. So everything was looked at through a lens of it being the church and what the church was doing. So let's look at the poem itself. First of all, the epilogue, the introduction, says the wife of noble character, a wife or woman of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Well, these words can mean a lot of different things. And you should know, first of all, that in Hebrew,
the word wife is actually the word woman. So some of you know other languages, and it's like that too. In English, it isn't. But some of you know Dutch, for example. So if you'd say vrouw, that is both a woman, but it can be mijn vrouw, would be my woman or my wife. That's under, you would translate that as wife. So anytime it says wife here, it's actually the word woman, right? So it can be read either way. So what kind of woman are we looking for here? Well, the word literally is strength. So it literally says a woman of strength. Who can find? And when then the word strength is adapted to fit the context. And often this word is used about military might. So a mighty warrior is the same word, this strength word. It can refer to wealth. So when Abraham was a mighty man or whatever, it meant he was a man of wealth. And then it can refer to character, strong character, good character. So here are some other translations of it. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife or woman? The Amplified, which kind of throws in all the words, says a capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman. Who is he who can find her? I think some people here might have, but. And then finally, when Dr. Al Wolters wrote a book about it, and he said, he called it the Song of the Valiant Woman. So however you look at her, this woman is amazing. She is a strong woman in many ways. She manages a household efficiently and diligently. And I know in the days when I did, as a stay-at-home mom, I used to think it should be something I would be able to put on a resume, because it's a big job, organizing a birthday party, for example, or just getting the whole family calendar set up and making sure people showed up at the right place at the right time. And she's not only looking after her loved ones, but she also ensures fair treatment for those who work for her, in this case, her servants. So she's not neglecting them. And sometimes we get into debates about stay-at-home moms or women who go out and work. Well, if this poem would be your example, this woman blows all the categories. Because in managing her household, she's actually running a whole enterprise. She holds portfolios, she buys businesses, she buys and sells land, she makes investments, she reaps profits, and she runs a business. And she makes things of beauty. She's ensuring that the world becomes a more beautiful place. But on top of that, she's not a selfish consumer. It's not just all about her. She shares. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And along with her deeds, it's also her words, or the words of a wise or godly person. She's a good teacher, and people know that and respect her for it. And then it says she doesn't have a fear of the future, because she is clothed with strength and dignity. And you get this sense of joy in this person's life, that of a freedom and strength to know her gifts and be able to use them to glorify God and make the world a better place. She enriches the world with her abilities. And others recognize her worth and praise her. It talks in this case about children and husbands, but also people at the city gates are talking about this household. And what makes this woman so special? What is it at the core that's giving her this ability, this strength, this character that makes her a valiant woman, that makes her so mighty? Well, it's not some beauty trick or some anti-aging device or some energy diet. At the core, it is that she is a woman who fears the Lord. Now, fear of the Lord is a phrase that we can trip up over, right? Because fear for us means like, I mean, who's terrified of the Lord, for example. But that's not what that means. It's kind of like a phrase. Fear of the Lord needs to be understood as almost a word together. And the a note in one of the Bibles says this is about a loving reverence for God that includes submission to his lordship and to the commands of his word. So if we took it over into New Testament or evangelical language, we might say having Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Acknowledging that your life on its own is broken and twisted and that you can't fix it yourself. And then asking Jesus to be the one who will forgive and be your leader instead. Putting God in the driver's seat. Bending your knee to God and then trying to live God's way, following God's will and not your own. So what's outstanding about this person is not that she accomplishes so much or is a noteworthy woman of business or adds happiness to the lives of others. Those are only byproducts of what's at the core of this person's life. She is a woman whose heart beats to do God's will. And in that way, this poem is not gendered, right? It's about a person whose heart beats to do God's will. A person who chooses the right way, even though it's costly or isn't popular or doesn't seem profitable at the time. Even if it hurts, this person chooses to live God's way instead of the way of the world. And in that way, this person is wisdom personified. This is a wise person, the one who lives God's way. And so this person is an example of a life that's lived completely under the will of God as far as possible. And that is the key to whatever productivity, whatever joy, whatever grace, whatever profit, whatever blessing we see in this person's life. So, women or men, don't despair at your inability to live out all the particularities of Proverbs 31. When I had a cleaning person into my house again this week, I was reminded that the woman in Proverbs 31 had many servants. How else did she get everything done? That's not the point, though. The point is to let her key, her central purpose, be your key also. She is a woman who fears the Lord. And so can you. So do you. So renew your commitment again today to be a person of virtue, a person of character, a person who stands up for what is right, a person who does his or her best with the help of the Spirit and the community of God to live God's way. And it has nothing to do with your gender or your married status or whether you actually are a mother or not, or a teenager or a great-grandmother or a stay-at-home parent or one who works outside of the home. In God's eyes, you are a great woman or person of faith, a heroine. There's a hymn of praise written to people like this. This is a song of praise to people of faith. Now, it does actually have a specific role for other people as well in this psalm. God has instructions. It says this, a woman who fears the Lord, she is to be praised. And honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now, the city gate is like the town square, right? It's sort of the central place, maybe For us, it's the courts or the media or city hall, whatever place where important things happen. And there's a command here for the people, the listeners, the audience, to respond to this picture of a person of faith. It says, praise her, honor her. And their imperatives, their commands, do this. Thou shalt do this. Do it today. So, mother, you are blessed. Grandmother, you are blessed. Single mother, you are blessed. Auntie, you are blessed. Women without children, you are blessed. Young women, you are blessed. Women of faith, you are a blessing, and you are blessed. For every way in which we choose to live as people of faith, day in and day out, God bless you. Let me lead you in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this picture and visual reminder, a painting, as it were, of people of faith who submit themselves to you, and every aspect of their lives reflects that they make choices that honor you. We confess, Lord, that sometimes the ways we honor you are in a much smaller sphere, and we ask that you forgive us. We ask that you encourage each one of us today, and that if there are those who are not living a life of faith, that you will continue to stir their hearts by the power of your Spirit. We look forward to the day when the whole world will bend the knee and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in the meantime, loving God, give us strength and courage to live for you each day. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people say, Amen.